Chapter 9 of Proverbs this morning. I'll begin by reading. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she says to him, Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If you be wise, you shall be wise for yourself, but if you scorn, you alone shall bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, and she is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wants understanding, she says to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knows not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's go back and see what that tells us. Wisdom. What kind of wisdom are we talking about? God's wisdom. Has built the house, not her house. The word her is put in here. All these hers are not added in, are added words in the language. And that's not true. It should just be God has built the house. Wisdom has built the house. And has hewn out seven pillars. Didn't say her pillars. That's just something they added in there. So wisdom built the house and hewn out seven pillars. Kind of like the seven seals and the seven trumpets and all these things that's going on. It's all parallels to that. But anyway, pillars are something that is tested. Would you agree? You build a pillar for something, you want to do design on it and engineering on it to see if that thing will carry the load. And that's what I'm saying. Wisdom has made sure that these pillars can carry the load. And see, the word she should be wisdom again. It should just put wisdom in there and it works. Wisdom has killed the beast. Hello. We're not talking about a literal sacrifice, are we? We're talking about the beast in me. Wisdom will kill that beast in me, won't it? God's wisdom will kill the beast. Wisdom has mingled the wine, the revelation. Wisdom has also furnished the table. See what I'm saying? That's what language really says. Look how the little word her or she has changed the whole meaning of that. Taking you way out of the context. Wisdom has sent forth the maidens. Wisdom calls out from the highest places of the city. What is the city? That's us. We are the city, the new Jerusalem that come down from heaven. Remember in the book of Revelation? We are that. And she cried or calls out from the highest place. Where's the highest place in our city? It's in our minds, our spirit. Whoso is simple, and the word simple isn't really a good choice of words there. Whoso is seducible, let him turn aside to hear. As for him that lacks understanding, wisdom says to him, Come and eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mingled. Forsake the foolishness and revive, not live, revive. See, we were all born dead in our sins and trespasses, see, under the condemnation of the law. But wisdom is saying, you learn me, you grasp this wisdom, and guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to revive. You're going to come back to the life that you had from the very beginning with God. Oh yeah, them lights will come on. They will come on. And the word go there is not a good one. It's not right. It literally says, and be blessed or happy in the way of understanding. You will revive and be blessed or happy in the way of understanding. Makes sense, don't it? When I get a hold of the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, it will make me alive. It will revive me. and it'll be happy. I'll be happy and blessed there. Remember my definition of freedom? Freedom is not doing what you want, but freedom is living within the limitations and boundaries that God has set and being happy there. That's freedom. See, I'm just totally, I mean, that's where I want to be, man. I want to be right in them limitations and boundaries that God has set up for me.
Satisfied, content.
Absolutely. There you go. That's the word, isn't it? That's the way it should be. Verse 7. He that corrects the arrogant gets to himself disgrace. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you correct an arrogant person, do you think they're going to hear you? They're going to turn on you, aren't they? And he that corrects a wicked man gets himself a blot. So the arrogant and the wicked, you can't teach them anything. No sense trying, is there? Verse 8, correct not the arrogant. That's a direct statement. You should say, not reprove, not a scorner, but should say, correct not the arrogant, lest he hate you. Correct a wise man, and he will love you. Hello. See, if a person is really a wise person and someone corrects him, he will accept that correction because he knows the fruit of that correction is better for him. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to learn to discern where it's coming from. Now, two people can correct you for the same thing. One can be constructively and the other can be destructively. And you should be able to know the difference. When someone's destructive criticism of you, do you think you gain anything from that? You just shut it off. Okay? And if God wants you to hear it, He'll send somebody constructively to change that thought process in you. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. That goes along with what he just said, wasn't it? Teach a just or righteous man and he will increase in learning. See, there's the reason right there. You learn more. Verse 10, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not fear. See, I'm not afraid of my father, but I reverence my father. I respect my father. And it's the beginning of wisdom. If I can reverence God, then I can hear God. If I respect someone, I can hear what they say. Anybody, correct? If I don't respect someone, I'm not going to listen to what they say because I don't believe what they're saying to start with. If I have reverence or respect for someone, then I'm going to believe probably that what they're saying is going to be true. But if I don't honor and respect that person, I won't listen to them. I hear people all the time say, well, I go to this church because they got good music. I don't believe what the preacher's saying. I don't respect him. He's crazy or whatever. Well, what in the world are they doing there? You know, they think they're making points or something, I guess, but entertainment. You can go to a concert on Saturday night and sleep in on Sunday morning if you want to, if that's what you just want entertained. And the knowledge of the holy is not correct. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If I know God, and this knowledge he's talking about is not an intellectual knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge. Do you understand that? It's an experience with God. See, not knowing about God, but knowing Him. An intimacy of knowing God. When I know God, I have an intimate relationship with Him. I know the intricacies of His thinking process. That's an intimacy, isn't it? And when you know that about God, it is what? It's understanding. I learn to understand God because I understand the way He thinks. And you know, how many times have we said to somebody, if I could just understand that person, I could really get to know them. It's the truth. If I can understand you, where you're coming from, I can understand where you're at and what your course is. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to understand Him.
And
prejudge them and go, I already know about that guy. Go on. Give me the next one. Yeah. Too big a hurry. Yep. They don't want to take time for the water to ferment, do they? And remember it says, you know, when you took the book and eat it up, it was sweet to the taste, but it got bitter in the belly. There's a little fermentation there. It takes some time, don't it? Just takes some time for that word to turn into that wine. And the wine has a process. It's good for you. And that's not, I just didn't say everybody go get drunk on wine. So somebody misconstrued me there. I didn't say that. Verse 11. Because by me your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. Now, is that clear or what? By the wisdom of God, for by me, this is wisdom speaking here, isn't it? By me your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. You're going to live longer if you live the way God wants you to live. You know why? You'll be stress-free. You will. If you live that way. Now, everybody's not there yet. It's a process of getting there, like we've talked all morning. It's a process. We're going to get there. But, you know, the way you come to peace is you go through a lot of hell. You really do. And that's how you learn that this stuff really isn't the focus. I don't focus on the situation. I focus on the goal. The journey teaches me. The destination, we're all going back, aren't we? The book says when we die, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes twice, he said in 3:20 and in 6:6 in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, when we die, do not all go to one place. So we all got the same destination, but we got different journeys. Why do we have different journeys? We're different and we need to learn different things to get us to the place we need to go, how to get there. Okay? So the journey is very, very important, and that journey will teach us many things, but the focus is still the destination. But the journey is very important. It teaches us. Verse 12, if you be wise, you shall be wise for yourself. But if you are arrogant, you alone shall bear it. The word scorn there should be, if you are arrogant, you shall bear it alone. Saying the same thing. If you're wise, you'll benefit from it. If you're arrogant, you'll reap the negative side of it, right? Verse 13, a foolish woman is loud and she is naive. Okay, we're talking about the soul of humanity, aren't we? That's that mixture of spirit and flesh. And knows what? Now, one of the translations says in Job, in the first 2 days they hear nothing at all. Okay, King James I think says God speaks once and then twice and they hear nothing. You know, but one of the translations says in the first 2 days they hear nothing at all, which is a very good rendering of it. So in those first realms, the loud, clamorous realm, and in the Passover and Pentecostal realms, you can get some pretty loud services, can't you? Screaming, yelling, running, flopping, doing all kinds of things, and it's just the flesh. It's just the emotions. But that's okay, because we were there, and I'm not going to throw a rock at them and say, go burn down all them churches. No, 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 no. Leave them alone. That's a process, isn't it? And if God wants them to come through, they'll come through, and if he wants them to stay there, they'll stay there. It's not my call. All I know is there's more than what they're seeing. And that's because God has shown it to us. We did nothing to deserve it. That's his call, isn't it? It's a divine selection. We don't have anything to do with that. Sure they do. Sure the kids get loud in the natural. And when they grow up, they learn to be more controlled. Okay. But the foolish woman is loud, and she is naive and knows nothing. Naive a lot of times means they're very seducible, don't they? They're naive. They can be led astray real easy if they're naive. Because she sits at the door of the house on a throne, what it literally says, in the lofty places of the city. Now, we're talking about the soul. She's sitting on the lofty places in the city. She's got herself on a throne. She has exalted herself, hasn't she? You think that's not talking about the soul? That soul tries to do it all the time, doesn't it? And she's there for a reason. To call out to passers-by on the road who go or make straight their course of life. So when you make straight your course of life, just like we've talked about in the past, I never had any problem with that woman until I got right with God. And once God got a hold of me, then that woman became a problem. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about my woman inside, my understanding in my mind. My woman inside of me, my soulish thinking really became a problem. Now the battle started. It was not God's wisdom. It was my wisdom was wrestling then. Okay? But it says, verse 15, she calls out to the passers on the road who make straight their course of life. So people trying to do it right, that's when the opposition comes. When you're living in the world, you don't have the opposition. Man, you just flow with it. You go with all that worldly stuff. But when you change course and go upstream against everything, now the fire starts. Verse 16 says, who is naive? Let him turn in hither. And see, that's what the soulless woman's hollering for. Let the naive ones come. Let the easy ones come. I don't want to labor for you. Give me the easy ones. So would you say maybe the soulish is also kind of lazy? The sluggard? Whoever is simple or naive, let him turn in hither. And as for him that lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You know, there are cults out here that call themselves churches. And I'm not pinpointing that in any way. All churches are cults. I'm just saying they could qualify for that, but I'm not going there. By definition, they are. But anyway, there are organizations out here that say in their rules, when they train their people to go out, they say, look for the naive ones. They say it right in their papers. They give them. Don't argue with anybody that knows anything about Scripture. If anybody wants to argue Bible, just walk away. But the ones that's naive, that knows nothing about the Scriptures, that's the ones we want. And they teach their people to read the newspapers and find people who have died, family members have died, and they can go in and offer them something. They'll buy groceries, we'll do this, we'll help you this, we'll give you flowers, we'll do different things, we'll give you Bibles. You know, all these things just to get them sucked in because they're in their emotional state at the loss of a loved one. See, they play a game. And that's what this is saying here. See, that's the soulish side of thinking, that just because someone died, now's the time you need to be drugged into church. Why? Because when you're operating in your emotions, you're not operating properly anyway. You're not thinking. You're letting that woman drive you inside, aren't you? You're not letting your wisdom side, your Christ side drive you, are you? See? So that's what they're looking for. They want the simple, naive ones. Sure. Divorces is another big thing. So you got tearing in the family, go in there and try to be a peacemaker and get them over here and get their money. That's all it's about. I know you would.
I just love them
to death. Yeah. Hey. They won't come here anymore. I mean, they don't come to my house anymore. They used to, but they don't come anymore. There's a big red X on the map on me, yeah, on this place here, so that's okay.
I gave you some natural water to keep a whole lot of
something to think about. it's funny in a way. God lets us have some fun with it, but they don't come anywhere near it anymore. They come up and down the streets. You see them walking, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, you see them walking, but they won't come anywhere near this. When they come down the street, they leave the house on the one side of me, walk on the other side of the street, and walk up and go to the house right past me. They just walk around it. You know, they won't even walk right straight up the street. They go out on the other side of the street to walk around it, like you're going to get a demon from me or something, you know. Huh? Put horns on my head and a pitchfork and that'd flip them out, I'm sure. Yeah, I probably couldn't stop laughing, so I'd blow it. Now look here, it's verse 17. What's it say? Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. What's that all about? There's a pattern that's being fed there to you. What is the pattern saying? Well, it is deception, but what's she trying to tell you? This is what the soul is teaching you. How many people have ever heard someone say, my faith is private, has nothing to do with anyone else? See, stolen waters, just grab it and go with it. You don't worry about somebody else. Listen to what the preacher says, and that's good enough.
Isn't there a scripture in Matthew where it says that they put on the righteousness of someone else?
Well, that's in Isaiah, but you're right.
That's the verse I was thinking.
Right. Okay, but what he's saying is stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret. See, don't be proclaiming this stuff out publicly. Keep it to yourself. You can, and what they're saying is you can have it inside. You can have all the religion you want inside. Just don't push it outside on everybody else. Just keep it to yourself because it's just for you. But he knows not that the dead are there in her house, in her place. Her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Her guests... Everyone that goes to that soulish side are in the depths of the grave. Sure. And don't, see, those cherubim, don't they do all that work for you? You don't have to do anything. They just slip things out of her mouth all the time, don't you, Don? They just do it. See, we didn't have anything to do with it. It's just there. And that, I want to go to that verse, honey, that you just mentioned in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 5, I believe. Or is it 6? It's either in 5 or 6 of there, and I haven't seen it yet. Oh, it's in 4. No wonder. It's like in the wrong place. And in that day, seven women will say, take oath, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Just let us be called by your name. You know, I knew it was in Isaiah, but couldn't figure out where it was. I was close. But I finally found it. Anyway, that'll do me for the day on this chapter. And next week, we'll be in chapter 10.